John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Up to you, Richard.
It's good to be able to be here today, and I appreciate the opportunity again to see you and preach. And it's a real privilege to meet in this way. Last night, I met in a hybrid meeting with some people from Pendle Hills Baptist Church. We had five people with a big screen and spaced out in front of a computer and a big screen, and then other people were spaced out remotely in their own homes. And it's unusual times, but what I'm encouraged about that meeting and about this meeting here is that people are still willing to continue in fellowship, in prayer, in worship, and in thinking about the Word of God. And that's what really is at the heart of Christian faith. I think last time I spoke about the passage on true worship and worshiping in spirit and truth, and it's a real privilege to be able to do that. And today's passage also relates to the truth, and I want to talk about that in a minute. I'd just like to pray now, and I invite you to join me in prayer before we consider the passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of having your word. Thank you for the Christians who are connected to us today by Zoom, and we have a sense of being gathered together in the name of Christ. We know that you said wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you are in the midst of us, and we know now that you are with us, even though we're sitting in different places around the suburbs of Sydney and further afield. We just know that you are with us, guiding us, and we pray that as we think about this passage in John 3, that you will guide our thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to save your eyes. I'm going to turn off my camera, and it also means that your reception of the PowerPoint should be enhanced as well. So I'll see you at the end of the sermon, but please follow along the PowerPoints as I talk about this message on John chapter 3. Now, the passage that we read today is a passage that is often a very famous passage, and often people only ever think about verses 16 and 17 when they think about John chapter 3. But John chapter 3 itself is actually a passage where there's a number of things happening. It starts off with Nicodemus, a very famous, he's famous now, and he was probably well known in the days of Jesus. He was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the law. He was quite an influential person. We know that. And he came to Jesus and asked Jesus questions because Nicodemus thought that there was something special about Jesus. And in the discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus, he talked about being born again. He talks about truth. He talks about light. And he talks about some other things that made Nicodemus think. And we know that later on, Nicodemus himself became a Christian. And the reason I mention that is that when people are confronted with the truth, there are different things that we can do with that. And if we go on to the next PowerPoint, which has the images of the grass and the fire, there's a statement there and it says, it is vital to acknowledge the truth. Now, in my work in pastoral care, I work, I've still been working full-time pastoral care with Hammond Care, and I've been working with people in the aged care home at Wirunga, and I've also been working with people in their own homes in the community. And there's a lot of extra precautions we have to take, and we have to do screening questions frequently during the day. And I have my temperature taken during the day as well, and there's a number of things that go on. But the reason I want to talk about this is that in my pastoral care conversations with people, there are many times when people are trying to match up the reality of their experience of life, and it often involves illness, with what they would like, with their own perception. And often we find that it's very difficult for people to actually acknowledge the truth. Now, this, in the last 2 years, 2019 and 2020 in Australia and the whole world, there are some things that have happened that have forced us to think about what is true and what is real and what is important. And one example, and it's very close to my heart because I actually have done some bushfire recovery work with some people within Hammond Care and outside of Hammond Care, is that we know that the climate was extremely dry and extraordinarily dry during 2019. And one of the things that happened after the long period of dry conditions and drought was we saw the extreme bushfires. And what impressed me about the government's response to the bushfires was that you might recall back in 2019 and early 2020, there were frequently news reports where they were saying, you know, it's likely that tomorrow will be a high bushfinder day, and it's important that people in this area either prepare to stay at home and be protected from the fire, or they leave now. And because of that strategy, and because many people, in fact, the majority of people actually believed what was said about the danger of fire, we had very few fatalities and very few injuries, extraordinarily so, considering the large amounts of fire that was experienced in Australia and particularly in New South Wales. And the reason I'm mentioning that is that when people trusted the fire department, when they trusted the New South Wales police, when they trusted the New South Wales health people, and believed that what they were saying about the dangers of fire and smoke, they were protected and they were saved from danger. And it's the same with this with matters to do with health conditions. I don't want to talk a lot about the coronavirus, but when we take notice of people who have information, when people who have evidence, then it actually has a benefit for us. And it's the same with the gospel. The Bible has a lot of things that are where and in it that are important for all of us. In fact, the whole Word of God is inspired by God. The whole Word of God is useful for teaching and correction, as Paul wrote. But it's also very important to believe the truths that are in the Scripture. And in John chapter 3, there's a mention of truth. And it's also a very significant reference to the value of taking notice of the truth. Now, if we go on to the next slide, you'll see there's some things that are actually difficult for us to accept the truth. And sometimes we can see something and wonder why other people are taking notice of that. Well, there's a few things that prevent us from seeing the truth. The first one is the capacity to see. Now, I visit some people who are blind. And when you go to their home, they often have a carer with them who will tell them how to orientate themselves to that particular space. There's one person I visit at the moment. He's had to move home because one of his relatives is sick. The relative who's looking after him is sick, and he's had to go to another home to live in. And the son of this man, when I'm there, he tells this man where the chair is, where the table is. When he gets a cup of tea, he tells him what side the handle of the cup is on, etc. Now, our capacity to see can affect how we process truth. And, you know, none of us are experts about everything, or I'm certainly not. Maybe some of you are, but I'm not. I'm anybody. If you're an expert at the end of this service, please let me know, and I'd love to know what you know about everything, because none of us know everything about everything. And our capacity to see affects how we handle the truth. And we know historically, up until the 1500s, most people in Europe thought the world was flat. And it was only when certain scientists and explorers came back with more information that was believed that people began to, in Europe, to believe that the world was actually round. And so when people can't see something, they often won't believe it. And when it comes to people talking about God, there are many times when people will say, I won't believe anything about God until I see the evidence. And people are aware that they need to see things. But we can see things by trusting others as well. Another force that obstructs our vision of the truth is our opinion of others. For example, if you respect me, you will believe what I say. If you don't respect me, you won't believe what I say. And I've worked as a teacher, a pastor, a pastoral care coordinator, a leader of teams in various projects. And when people have a respect of the person who was telling them some information, that makes a big difference. And I know at the moment, when we see the chief medical officer of New South Wales Health come on the TV, most people I know respect that woman very greatly, and they will listen to what she says, and they will believe that what she says is true and useful information. Whereas there are other people who are in the media or in other places, and their opinions are not trusted. So our opinion of others actually affects how we handle the truth. Now, historically, ever since Adam and Eve, pride has been an issue to processing the truth. Sometimes people are too proud to believe a certain truth. Now, I'll be 60 later on this year, and sometimes I want to think that I'm actually 25. And then occasionally a child or even an older person will kind of make me humble. In fact, the other day I was in the aged care home. I was working in the aged care home, and a visitor came into the aged care home and asked me how long I'd been a resident in the aged care home for. And that was a very humbling moment. And so I have to realise that I do actually look like somebody in my 60s. Even though I'm still in my late 50s. So pride can actually affect how we handle the truth. And we have to realise that sometimes if we reject something that someone is saying, they might be telling us the truth, but our pride could actually be hindering that. And this is where in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he exhibited wisdom and humility in actually listening to Jesus. And we can take note of what Nicodemus did when in this conversation with Jesus. Another force that hinders our vision of the truth is our own ambitions, our own agendas. And this comes into play in a whole lot of areas. A classic example is in the use of land. Sometimes people will... I had a conversation with someone yesterday who bought... they bought a unit in an apartment block, and the property next door was listed as a heritage listed property, which was low rise and nice and leafy and green. And somebody has come in and to put an application in to build a high rise building on what was a heritage listed place. And so people's ambitions, this is where you get a clash of people's interest and their selfish ambitions. And I'm not going to go into the pros and cons of that. I don't know all the legalities or all the sides of that conversation. But when people have different ambitions or different desires in a certain issue, that can actually affect the perception of the truth. And often what people see is their own selfish, really perception of the world and their own selfish ambitions. And the reality is actually ignored. And therefore the pros and cons of an issue are ignored too. Another thing that obstructs our vision is lack of faith. Lack of faith to believe the truth. Now we know, as in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And we know also that faith is something that is critical to understanding and growing in the Christian life. And faith is based on respect, it's based on trust, it's based on willing to consider new information and follow what we find out to be true. And it often, faith is more about believing in the person who brings the message than it is about the message itself. And again, in this passage in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, from what he heard from Jesus and what he'd heard about Jesus, that put him in a position where he had enough in him to believe that Jesus was someone who was saying things that were important and things that were real and things that were true. Now, if we move on to the next slide, I'll just read the verses there. Could keep the slide up. Verses 16 to 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Now, here it says that the believing in Jesus is essential for life and death matters. And in those earlier matters, the reason they had the fires and the health situation is that what we believe does actually have implications for our health and even our life and our death. And I've already mentioned the factors that can actually influence people who might tell an inconvenient truth. Now, humility is very, very important when it comes to belief. And so when somebody says something that we feel awkward about hearing, often we can just turn away from them, run away from them, block our ears. If someone says something that confronts us, and they say it in a nice, polite, kind way, it's very important to really consider the implications of what they're saying and then see if there is any aspect of truth to that. Now, I know that particularly, if we go on to the next slide, please. Now, in regard to forgiveness of sin, belief in Jesus is critical. Now, in the small group I was talking to last night, we were looking at John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He also talks about him and the Father being one in John chapter 14. Now, in regard to having our own sin forgiven and sin being forgiven is essential for us to experience eternal life. It's for us to be really alive as Christians and have the confidence that our sins are forgiven and that we will go to heaven in the afterlife. Belief in Jesus is critical, and what we believe about Jesus is critical. One of the truths that's in the scripture, which is important to believe, is that Jesus Christ is actually God himself. He is not a separate being. And that's a very big theme in John's Gospel. And also believing that this Jesus Christ, as God the Son, he suffered for our sins and paid the penalty so that we could ask for God's forgiveness is an important truth of Scripture. And then the truth that Jesus rose again, demonstrating his authority over death and that he is the Saviour, is another important thing to believe about Jesus. Now, we can often wonder about these details, but however, faith in God and his word is critical for enjoying life and health as a Christian. And I encourage you to always read the Scriptures and particularly read the Gospels frequently. I make it a habit to read through the Gospels several times a year, each Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, because we get so much information and we get such a great picture of the truths about Jesus Christ by reading those Gospel books. Now, if we go on to the next slide, we have in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, it talks about light, and it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now, light reveals things. If you if you want to have a good look at what is underneath the cupboards, or underneath the beds, or underneath the lounges in your room, where you are now, and don't do it right now, but do it later on. If you first have a look under there without using some sort of torch or flashlight, you won't see a lot. But if you get under on the floor and have a look under the cupboard and with a very bright light, you will see things you didn't notice without the light turned on. And light reveals things. Now, Jesus himself is called the light of the world. And when we trust in Jesus and when we come to him, he reveals things about the world, about our lives, and how we are living in the world and how we could live in the world. And it's important to take notice of what we see in the light of Jesus Christ and his teaching. And there's another side to this too. There's a few places in Scripture, certainly in Matthew and in Luke and other places, where it talks about what we love. Now, what we love determines how we handle the truth. A classic example of this, if somebody loves eating enormous amounts of chocolate, they will eat enormous amounts of chocolate, usually. If someone realises that having enormous amounts of chocolate can actually increase the amount of sugar and other fats that go into our system, they will actually be a bit more careful about how much chocolate they have. Now, I do like chocolate, I must confess. I'm someone who likes to eat chocolate. And so I do actually take care in how much I consume, but I still like to have it. But whatever we love determines how we handle the truth. And again, what we love actually determines how we filter the truth. So if we love ourselves more than others, or if we love ourselves more than God, and in the Scripture there's some examples about loving money and material things more than God, then that will determine how we live our lives in this world. And we know that there's a number of issues in this world. Can we have the next slide up, please? That's a quote from Matthew chapter 6. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. No one can serve both God and money. Now you can transfer anything else for money. So for some people, it could be no one can serve both God and their appetite, or no one can serve both God and selfish ambition, or no one can serve both God and you could put anything else in there, whatever you like, whatever anything else that can take the place of God. And the point of that verse is that, as Jesus was saying, it's important to love God first and have a faith in him over and above other things. And that puts us in a position where we can actually see his truth and live by his truth. Yeah, can we move on to the next slide, please? I have a question for all of us to think about, and it's this. How comfortable are you about knowing what other people do in your life? Now, I'm not going to tell you everything about my life on this Zoom session, and I don't expect you to tell everybody about what is in your life. But one of the truths of Scripture is that God sees us. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows our attitudes. He knows how we live. He knows how we want to live. And so we should always realize that we are actually living our lives before God. One of the most significant conversations I have with people in pastoral care settings is about being honest to God. Now, we can live a life where we cover up things in our society, but we can't cover up our true selves to God. And one of the most liberating things about being a Christian is that we have the opportunity to open up our hearts to God, to open up our minds to God, and live openly before God. And I encourage you, if you realize that we are honest to God, and we can be honest to God about all our feelings, about all our fears, about all our ambitions, then that can help us to live lives that are more truthful and more enlightened. Enlightenment for the Christian is about being exposed to the light of God through Jesus Christ and living lives openly without fear or shame of other people knowing how we live or what we believe in. And the other side of that is, if we fear that our deeds will be exposed, then that's an indicator that we are denying the truth. Like when you're in a workplace, if you're afraid that the boss will know what you do with your time at work, then that's an indicator that you're not necessarily doing what is according to the business model or the business plan. But if you're quite happy for the boss to know how you spend your time, where you go, what you do, then that's an indicator that you're living by the truth of that company. And it's the same with other aspects of life as well. Yeah, and so in verse 21 of John's gospel again, which is the next slide, it says, "Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that may be seen plainly that what they have been done has been done in the sight of God." Well, how can we do this? Well, simply by being honest and being willing to be honest. If we want to be honest, if we ask God, "God, please help us to be honest in our speech, in our actions, in our thoughts," then that God will answer that prayer, and he'll help us to see what is the true situation and what is the truth about our lives and about our world. It's important to accept evidence, even when evidence confronts what we have previously believed. It's important to consider difficult information that comes from reliable sources. And one of the reliable sources that we have as Christians is the Scriptures. And so we should always use the Scriptures as a guide for our thinking about what is true and what is not true, about what is right and what is wrong. And also, we should ask the Lord for wisdom. And this is where humility comes into it. None of us, as I said before, know everything about everyone or about every place or about every issue. And we should ask God to be wise and to help us to grow in wisdom and in faith and in knowledge. And ask the Lord to enlighten you. Ask the Lord to show you things. Ask the Lord to give you discernment, because all of us have very difficult situations that we find ourselves in our lives at times, and we often have difficult decisions to make. And so ask the Lord to enlighten you and to show you. And as I said before, simply be honest to God. And I want to conclude this message by reading from John 3, verses 16 and 21. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." And then on the last slide, we have a prayer. I want to lead you in the prayer now. It's on the last slide there. Heavenly Father, you know every decision I need to make and every challenge I face. Please forgive me for the times that I try to figure out this life on my own. I need you. I need your Holy Spirit to give me strength, wisdom, and direction. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been lovely to speak with you again today, and I pray that you really know God's help and God's blessing and have a real sense of him leading you and showing you the way. And as I've prepared this message, I've been humbled myself, and I've been challenged to just consider just how I process information that's difficult and how I can live more humbly and more wisely. And as I've been speaking to you, I've also been speaking to myself. So even though I've been a bit preachy today, I just want to let you know that I've been speaking as much to myself as anybody else. Because in these times, it's important that we really do seek God's wisdom and really seek his guidance in finding out what is true and what is the reality of the situations we find ourselves in. Thank you.